And so happy Father's Day to our fathers here. We have exceptional men in this congregation that make us better. Amen. Aren't you glad for every dad in this room? Yeah, I see you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the goodness of the Lord. Do you have your message notes handy? If you don't, you can raise your hand. Our ushers will get those to you. Just lift your hand high, real high, and they'll get those bulletins or message notes to you. If you need those, raise your hand. We'll 100%. Everybody, good to see you. And on the big screen, we're going to go ahead and do something real quick. Happy Father's Day. We won't embarrass any dad, but if you're here as a dad, we know that you have a high call. We know you have great responsibilities. Again, I'm going to tell you a little bit about not being perfect today, but trying to pursue what God would have for you. We have a way still when we don't make it that there's still hope in our lives. But if you're a dad here, we want to bless you. We have a gift for you. If you're in this room, would you raise your hand high as a dad? And just we want to make sure that you get a great gift. It's a beautiful pen. I have one up here. Fathers of Faith, Teach, Reach, and Inspire. It has a way that you can click on your screens that you use, your iPhones and your Android phones. If you're an Android person, I don't know who you are in this. No, if you're an Android person, you can use that. And then you also have a great looking pen. We have a guy right here on the front row. Amen. There he is. Somebody, don't forget about the guy. Amen. Dario almost spells his name like Mario. Isn't that a good thing? I thought, you know, so that name's not dying. It's kind of close and it's connected, right? So let's welcome all of our first-time guests to Living Faith Church. First time here, second time here. Come on, make them feel at home. Yeah, second time also. And so we're blessed. Welcome to Living Faith, faith that you can see as we go, as we gather, and as we grow. And thank God for God growing our church today. And we welcome you. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. Amen. They're on tune today. They're on the right channel, as they say, right, everybody? And so welcome them. Make them feel at home today. And a couple of thank yous that will go out. And Richard and Francis, first service, they were here. Richard prepared, you can show me the next slide. Richard prepared the baptism tank. And I don't know what it is about the baptism tank, but man, God just shows up there when you're cleaning that thing out. Because it took me like 4 hours the first time that we did a baptism. It's just a lot of intense work. So how many know the next time I did it, I got help? And Richard undertook that, and so did his precious bride, Francis. Thank God for our eldership. They did they're doing the baptizing. Richard is now. And so I thank God. It's an intensive job to do. If y'all ever want to go help him, you can. But they prepared, and people got baptized last week. Sons got baptized. A daughter got baptized in the house. And so thank God for it. Let's let Richard hear that. Bless Richard right now. Let him hear your thanksgiving. Yeah, he's a blessing. Works hard as an elder of this house today. Welcome to Fearless Father Day, and you are that. You're God's child. You're God's son here. Everyone is a son in this house, and so thank God for every dad. I found a passage in Thessalonians that is so powerful and true, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. In your Bibles, it's 1 Thessalonians 2. It's also in your handout today, and so on the big screen or in your handout, let me read God's passage to you today. It says, when we were with you as the apostles of Christ, we could have used our authority to make you help us, but we were very gentle with you. We were like a caring mother with little children, and we loved you very much, and so we were very happy to share God's good news with you. But not only that, we also were happy to share with you even our own lives. Verse 9, brothers and sisters, I also want you to remember how hard we worked. We worked hard night and day to support ourselves so we would not be a burden to anyone while we were telling the good news of God's good news. And when we were with you as believers, we were pure, we were honest, and we were without fault. Why don't you go ahead and say pure, honest, and without fault in the way that we lived. And you know, just as God does, that this is true. Verse 11, finally. And you know that the way that we treated you was the way a father would treat his own children. We encouraged you. Somebody say encouraged you. Encouraged. We comforted you. And we told you to live the good life for God. That got a little bit weak, but y'all can do better next time, right? And he called you to be part of his glorious kingdom. 1 Thessalonians isn't really directed towards fatherhood, but it's directed towards a man that had spiritual children. And Paul had many children. I don't know if Paul was a natural father. doesn't say that biblically, but I do know this, he had sons in the Lord. And it's important, the principles of fatherhood. I notice at the very beginning of the passage, he talks about, we treated you like a mother. I treated you like a mother and I cared for you as a gentle spirit, comforting spirit. But then at the end, he ends it. He said, I also treated you like a father and I cared for you and encouraged you and comforted you. And I urged you to live for God today. And so there are three principles that I'll walk away with and you'll walk away with if you have your notes with you about that. That's a challenge to every father in this room. It's not something to be passive about, because I believe our culture's dumbed down manhood and being a father so much so that we've become almost passive in some cases. And I know none of the men here, but I want to challenge you to rise to the challenge to continue to be that father that biblically is spoken about. Is anyone perfect in this room? No. This message was real challenging to me. I'll be real upfront and real transparent. Because I see a lot of my failures when I preach, because I preach to myself first, right? I get ready and I go, man, I'm going to tell them that. And I better get my act together. I better live right. And so it does something in my heart first. And I want to tell you about, just if you failed as a father, we all have hope in this room. The failure would be if you don't get back up. The failure would be if you're passive and say, I give up. Because many men can do that today. Many parents can do that. But we don't give up in this room. Because you're here and you're breathing, God still has something in your life today that we can rise to. We can stand up again and say, I can pursue God again. Thank God for the God of many chances today. I want to encourage every father, because fathers have a tendency to do this. If you pat us on the heads, we're like dogs. Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Good boy. Good boy. But we can also be like dogs, and we can get real discouraged and get beat down and then say, I give up. And God is telling you with every voice of tenderness towards challenge as a coach, come on, man, we can do this thing, right? Come on, man, you can do better, amen? Come on, man, we can get this thing going. And nobody's looking at the guy that's looking at, like, man, y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. But we can do this. I believe this. Amen. I'm preaching to myself and I'm saying, amen, Pastor. You're doing good today. Give me a good amen. A wise father knows what's appropriate in the sense of his word and how to prescribe it towards his children. And so the fearless father, again, there's some emotion that can happen in this room. My dad never did that, or I'm disappointed. Father's Day comes with a lot of struggle, just like Mother's Day does. And there's some pain, there's some disappointment. And thank God we're in the house of God. With all that pain, with all that disappointment, with all that hurt. They call this a spiritual hospital, right? Amen. Let the wounded come. Well, it's a crutch going to church, that's why I don't go. Well, give me the bed, give me the IV, give me the breathing machine, give me everything, because I need God in my life. How about you? Amen. I need to be restored. I need to be healed on a week. And I haven't arrived yet. How about you? Amen. Some of us in this room, we're in the ICU, and that's okay. Some of us have gotten now past the ICU, and we're with the drip thing, and we're still walking around with it. Amen. And that's okay. One day you'll operate. One day you'll be the doctor, and that's okay today. Amen. We're all in the same hospital today, even as daddy's in this room. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And so Paul's word teaches about the framework, the shape, and the contents of our word. And it's a high privilege to be a father this morning. Amen.
Amen.
It's a high privilege to be a mama. It's a high privilege. Do you know how many people want children, and they're waiting still? They don't have the ability. They've been disappointed by clinics and doctors, and they spent thousands of dollars, and they still can have. And so it's a very, we're privileged to have God in our lives, aren't we? Today, to do that, to be a father and be called that. There are few more powerful things than the words that a father can speak, than a parent can speak. And so I'm going to give you principles here. Number one is this: the fearless father communicates. Somebody shout, communicates. There's words of encouragement here that Paul speaks of, and he says, we came to you and we encouraged you today. And it's a call to action. The Greek word there is parakletos. Can you say that Greek word with me, parakletos?
Parakletos.
And what it means is that the Holy Spirit, that word for the Holy Spirit, comes alongside of you, and it encourages you. And it says, come on, man, you can make it. It whispers in your ear, one more lap, we got this thing going. Just push as hard as you can. The Holy Spirit through you as a father can speak to your children, to your family and say, come on, we can make this. It's encouraging that you do that today. The word is almost exhortation where you say, you got to make this. A lot of us in this room have that encouragement in our voices when we tell our children, come on, clean your room. Come on, wash the dishes. And it doesn't need to be done in a shouting way or a yelling way, because a lot of our children know we have that I mean it voice. You know, when you have it, you finally got it, you got it. I'm really mean it this time. You better go to bed. You better get into your bed. And we finally get to that point. But our words should be so encouraging that they know for the first time that I mean it. Right, everybody? And not a third time, not a fourth time, but we say when we clean our room today. A lot of our communication, your success will ride on as a father about how you communicate to your children, and it's done in the very sense of it. Our life can contradict itself with what we say and how we live. And if anyone is aware of that, it's our children. There's this intimacy that the Father has right here that King David wrote in Psalms 45:1 about being moved, that your heart is beating so much that it's moved. And I love journaling, but if you look past that also, that how God would have an intimate relationship with his son, with his family today, and how God would move us to have that same relationship. And it says this, my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for my king. My tongue is a pen of a skillful writer. Don't you love that verse? Amen. Yeah, I do too, and it's powerful to me. The impact of a father's words are so important, and there is a way to do it today. This comes from Pastor Dave Stone of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. He has a great church, and he gave really the communication aspects of when you communicate. Because of a lot of us are being time conscious here, especially of our dads. We have only so much time. But I like the principles. And these are extra notes for the extra note takers. And if you're real spiritual and you love Jesus, you take extra notes. So look around to see if anybody really loves Jesus today. And they'll be taking extra notes today. And if they're not, pray for them because they need to love Jesus. Right, everybody? Let's look at number one. I'm just messing with you. Mealtime is a good time that you would communicate with your children. There's nothing like having a table with your sons and daughters around that table, and you eat together as much as you can, because the day will come when everybody will be going in different directions. But you can have a sit-down meal. You can affirm there. You can teach there. You can laugh there. There's a story about, true story about a son that was in this house, and he's the oldest son of the family. And I can imagine him being around his family table. And he told me something recently about his little brother. And he says his little brother was being bullied. And the whole family heard about it around the dinner table because the little brother voiced it out. He's in elementary school. And everybody's concerned. The sister's concerned. Big brother's concerned. Mom and dad are concerned. And they begin to pray. It was a time that they just needed to reach into that son's life, the youngest in the family. And a few weeks later, he came back and he told them that that bullying problem really wasn't anymore, that they were friends now. The bully had become, he'd friended him, even though he's not on Facebook. He'd become a friend to him and he won him over. And it was all done at the council around the table on how to address it. It wasn't really to fight back. That may be appropriate sometimes. But it was a way to win that bully over that needed a lot of prayer and that was hurting that youngest child today. And I love that story today, because the finest university that your son or daughter will ever go to, dad, mom here, isn't Harvard, isn't UTSA, isn't Incarnate Word Trinity. You know what? It's going to be the university of you, your last, the University of Nava, Gonzalez, amen. Yeah, it'll be your university. You're the best teacher that they'll ever have. Did you know that today? There's ways to still teach your children, even though they're not with you anymore, and you miss that like I do when they're not around the table. How about this one? Travel time. There's nothing like it, because the inside of a car has become the modern-day family room. I don't like it as much, but when you travel, it's a captive audience. road trips, 10 hours on the road, captive audience. They listen to your music. You make them listen to your music, right, everybody? They're teachable moments. You have them with you. Why not teach? Jesus was a master at this. Not in a car, but as they walked. Hey, look at that fig tree, disciples. You know what's going to happen to that fig tree? Hey, look at this bread. Look at this fish that we have. He taught them in teachable moments, the cup, the bread. And he was able to express that during moments that he was with them. And you can do the same thing. Teachable moments, travel time. Use them to prepare. See, one day as they're traveling with you, it's going to be beautiful. But one day they're going to drive on their own. And you're going to pray a whole bunch. And they're going to drive away. And you're never going to see them again. Kind of you won't. Because when they go away, it's different, man. Just something happens. How many of you know what I mean? It's never the same when they drive away. And so while they're with you in that captive audience, teach them. Finally, bedtime. Great opportunity. Don't miss it. Sometimes we're too tired. Sometimes we want to watch the end of the fourth quarter. Hey, the Spurs are playing. They're in the championship, but they're going to bed. There's nothing like that. Don't pass it on to somebody else. Don't let them go to bed on their own, because that's even worse. Affirm them. It's a tender time. You lay your hand on their head and pronounce blessings on them. I don't know how to pray like you. You can say, Jesus, help them. You can say, Jesus, fill my son. You can say, God, bless my son. There are prayers all over the Bible that you can open up his word and pray the prayer of faith over their lives today. Amen. Amen. There's nothing like that tender moment that you console them. Let's look at the framework now of the fearless father. The second thought about your world that you live in, dad, parent here, because some moms are even dads in this room in the spiritual aspect of it. So let's look at the framework of the context of this thing. Paul was speaking in the relationship of context that he had a relationship with the Thessalonian church. It wasn't just something he was just saying and being distant. No, he lived among them. He worked among them. He showed them his true colors among them. I'm sure they saw everything about Paul. And so he speaks of these words of comfort. Somebody shout comfort. Comfort. That's just speaking to somebody in a friendly way. Just talking to them. Yeah. See, our children will be confused. They'll be discouraged. They'll be hurt. They'll walk in wounded from a battlefield called life, from a school playground, from a place that they didn't make it, a job assignment or something. And when they walk in, they need to hear words of comfort, because that's the framework that they have, the environment. And so you can soothe them with your words. You can believe in them. You can affirm them today. They say, researchers say, that out of one word that's spoken of affirmation, there are 10 words that are spoken in a home that are negative, that are bouncing off the wall, that are critical. So you got to replace that one word with 10. Do you understand that? The odds are against you. So if you're speaking more words of positive and blessing and praise on them, of comfort, you'll replace the 10 negative critical words that are bouncing around the house, right, everybody? Yeah, there's this book called In a Heartbeat, and it's written by the Tuleys that made that movie famous, Blindside, Sean and Leanne. And the couple, how they adopted. Well, they wrote this book In a Heartbeat about generosity. Not about money so much, even though they can afford it. They're millionaires. But about your time, about your talent, about how giving that is just as important as giving your finances. And they share this story about how Congress has awarded this internship program to all foster kids that graduate out of the foster program. Some children don't get adopted in foster care, and so they get this congressional government program where they can walk in and become government assistants. And so this young intern, true story, went and became an aide for a congressman. And he's working diligently his first couple of days, and he's on the staff of this congressman's staff. And this congressman has this, like, mailroom that functions like a kitchen, a break room in his wing. And that intern notices how just dirty and unkept it is, and he wants to do something about it. So without being told, he cleans it all up, makes it just a masterpiece, and puts the final touch on it. and walks away. Well, the congressman walks in a few hours later and says, looks at the staff and says, "Who did this? It's absolutely incredible. Look how clean this place is. It's never been like this. Who did this?" And sheepishly, that intern, that foster child that grew up to be a young man now, 20-something, raises his hand and says, it was me. I did this. He says, "You're outstanding. This is great work. I applaud you, young man. Great job. Keep up the good work." And he looked at the rest of the staff and said, "What are you guys up to?" You know, making them all feel bad. He notices a couple of hours later as he comes through the office again, that young intern is kind of crying. And he's just looking, you know, like he's being, you know. And so the congressman goes up to him and says, what's wrong with you, son? Are you okay? Did I do something to offend you?" He says, "No." He said, "What's wrong? Why are you crying?" He said, "Sir, you were the first one ever in my life to tell me that I've done an outstanding job. I've never been spoken to like that." Do you see how powerful words can be? Do you see how comforting they can be in the framework of your life today as a dad today? Amen. Amen. Sometimes men, we're not the best at this. I've been reminded of this as I've prepared it for you to take in as a meal, a spiritual meal today. But there's nothing more powerful than the words of a father that bring comfort. Our words will bring us into relationship today and into loving affection. And I want to mention to you today, how often do you express affection today? I'm not the affectionate type. I'm just not that way. When they were little, it was younger. And you, there's appropriate ways to even express affection to your adult daughter, to your adult son. And my children know that already as they're older. I miss when I would hold them and tickle them on the stomach and blow on their bellies and do the raspberry thing. But I can't do that anymore. It would be weird, wouldn't it, with my 20-something-year-old kids? Of course it would be. But there's still an embrace that I can have with my kids. There's still love and there's hope that I can have with my children. And it's the framework of loving affection that we can have even with a son that I have today. And thank God for it today. The transparent life that you would have in the framework of doing something that's, if you live a life that's impersonal today, your children won't respond to it when there's crisis. Because if all you do is preach to them in an impersonal way, not a transparent way of saying, "Your dad needs healing, your mom is believing for God for this, I'm coming up short in this area, and I need prayer also." If you don't become transparent, and I know many of you dads do that, I love you for it because I've heard your testimonies in this room today, and I'm so proud that you're in this church. Remember the first time that I saw my dad real transparent? I was 20-something. I was an adult along with my older brothers and sisters, and my mom called us and told us that dad was in the Methodist Northeast Hospital, and there were some tests that the doctors needed to do quickly. And so as we were all concerned, we went towards the emergency room area, and we were there, and dad was in this gown. I still see him in the gown. But thank God it was gown both ways. It was a gown on the backside too. Give me a good amen. And if I ever visit you in the hospital, you better have both gowns on. Give me a good amen. I won't see none of that. Anyway, let me move ahead. Please, amen. I'm trying to pray for you to get well. But seeing my dad with that derby hat that they put on and those little booties that they put on him, well, I realized my dad was human. The man was human. He had a soul, finally. And my dad needed healing in his life. And at that moment, he received his healing, and things went on for a few more years with dad. And God, he was such a blessing in my life to have, in this church also, right, everybody? And so the Father's words, they take an unselfish diligence that you need to have. And you got to be willing to pay a price. You got to pay a price to be a dad. Well, I do. I work hard. I bring money to the table. And that's, I applaud you for that. It's scriptural to work hard and to do things for your children. But most of us dads, when we become selfish, it's with our me time. See, most of us in this room, you're like me. You're just a big kid in a grown-up body. I've taken up this thing called cycling, bicycling, and I'm riding my bike, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I'll just be real honest with you, because it reminds me of being on a horse when I ride my bike, and I can still be a cowboy. And I can pick up speed, and I can coast, and one time I did fall, but I got up again, give me a good, and I wouldn't hurt too bad. But I think a lot of us men, we enjoy golf, so we still golf. A lot of us guys, we enjoy basketball, so sometimes we still play basketball. And the day will come when I probably won't be able to bike ride or won't be able to play basketball. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch guys play basketball. I'm going to watch guys golf. I'm going to watch, I'm going to enjoy that sports time, because we enjoy watching other guys do the games that we can't do or do as well as we do. And we imagine ourselves playing the ball like they play in Dallas on the cowboy field and so forth today. And that's when your son or daughter would come along, and like Roger mentioned, well, we go golf together now. It's not my time, it's our time. And you spend that time, and you're diligent about it, and you're not selfish about it, like it's a me, but you do it together and you die to yourself. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? So being a dad means you sacrifice time for others today. There's a framework of being spiritually genuine, and that would mean that you're consistent in your life. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that you're authentic. And when you fight the enemy, he's real, and you don't fight a son, you don't fight a wife, but you fight a devil in your house, and you're spiritually authentic about it. I think Philippians that Paul wrote it all about being authentic, and here we go. On the big screen, you haven't had any fun all day, Living Faith. You've been sitting, just looking at me, staring at me. So can you read this with me today? It's in your handout, right? Let's read it on three. Come on, everybody. Read it out loud, not out soft. One, two, three, go. Summing it all up, friends. Meditating on things that are true, noble, authentic, gracious, the beautiful. Things that to praise. We need to be committed to the same principles that we're telling our sons and daughters to be part of. It's what you saw me. It's what you heard me. It's what you realize that I do and how I lived. Do you understand that today? Man, Pastor, you're preaching good. Thank you, choir. I appreciate your input today. Choir's amen, and I don't know about you guys on the... Yeah. So, there are movies we don't want them to see, but what movies are you watching? Yeah, there are things we don't want them to spend their money on, but how are you spending your money? There are words we don't want them to say, but what's coming out of our mouth today? And so kids have this knack. I don't know about your kids, but my kids have the spiritual gift of they can recognize hypocrisy real fast. And I don't want to be a hypocrite in my house. Are you holy today? Are you righteous today? Are you blameless? And no one is perfect in this room, including yours truly, but we can be committed to this. Amen. I can have a commitment that's driving me, that this is what I'm aiming for today. Amen. Yeah, because it's about my God today and how we serve God today. Finally, the third principle is this. The fearless father, somebody shout words.
Words.
Paul mentions that, he says, I wanted you to live the life that God has for you. Other translations say urging. So somebody say urging, yeah. And so it means to really something that's true and done and ought to be done. I'm going to urge you to do this because it needs to be done. There ought to be some non-negotiables in our house. There are going to be times that you comfort. There's going to be times that you exhort and you encourage. But there's going to be times that you say, hey, this is non-negotiable. This is the what we do in our house. This is how we live. These are the golden rules in our house. There doesn't need to be a bunch of them. Listen to me. If there's 200 of them, you've gone overboard. You become a Pharisee. But there should be a few. We're not going to lie in this house. And there's not going to be lies. We're not going to tell lies. And if I find out about it, there's going to be a price to pay. We're going to honor in this house. Yeah, there ought to be those principles that you pound the table for and say, this is what we're about today. Not a bunch, but a few. Give me a good amen. Amen. There's a story of Eli. He was this high priest in the Old Testament. He's found in the book of Samuel. Samuel was the first prophet that came about. In the book of Eli, the high priest, Eli, has these sons. And the sons are following in dad's footsteps. They're becoming high priests too eventually. He's mentoring them. They're disciples of his. Well, the Bible says that these guys were scoundrels. The sons were scoundrels. They didn't follow in the way. Eli, according to what I read, he was a decent guy. But one thing he fell short in was not correcting his sons when they should have been corrected. I don't know why he didn't. I can think about maybe they were like this. Maybe you know, that's your mama's job. She does all the discipline in the house. And Eli fell short if that was his reason. Boys will be boys. These are boys. They need to work out their wild oats and sow them. Yeah, they got to do that. And he didn't correct them, and he fell short today. And maybe I don't want to ruffle any feathers because you know how they get when I get upset with them. They get all, he should have did the right thing. And a curse came upon his family, and a brokenness came upon his family because he wouldn't do the non-negotiables that he needed to do. We all failed at this. There are things, if I become real transparent, I would take all day about you, but every father has a hope now because you're in this room today to do the right thing. Begin again. Amen. Start over. God is a redeemer. God is a God of hope, and he redeems every father in this room, every parent in this room. I never thought I would use Garth Brooks as a sermon illustration or whatever, but they asked Garth, hey, how do you treat your children? How do you raise them when they misbehave? And I'm quoting Garth, and he said this. He said, many parents try to be a friend to their children. My children have enough friends. They don't need me to be a parent to show them right or wrong. You're not going to be elected mayor, Dad. You're not running for city council. You're not running to be a popular person. You're to be Dad, and you're to be a mom in this room today. I love the words of Solomon, the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. He has the proverb with promise today. In Proverbs 18:21, let's read it together out loud today. 1, 2, 3. Words can kill. Words can give life. You've heard that thing, pick your poison. But on this one, you don't have to pick a poison. You can express your love. You can express your words. And you can have fruit. But if you express the wrong words and you bring it harshly and it's not edifying, it will kill and it will be poison. So thank God for the promise of God. We can say the positive things towards our children today. Right, everybody? Amen. I believe everyone in this room has that moment in their life when someone spoke to them and it changed their life. Now, it could have been negative, but I know this. God loves everyone in this room, and he doesn't let you escape his hand of goodness and his hand that's so good when it's laid on you that everyone in this room has probably heard something good that was spoken to them that changed their life and blessed them. And you can still remember, man, that drove me, that helped me, that changed my life when that person spoke to my life. Right, everybody? Amen. And so thank God you dwell on that. I want to encourage you this Father's Day to speak words of comfort, to speak words of in your framework how you'd live, and speak those words that would bless, not curse today. Finally, there's a scripture that I have for you as we conclude on the screen. And the heavens are breaking open because God the Father did everything he could to get to his Son at this moment. It's beautiful. It's one of my life verses for my children. Matthew 3:17, and a voice from heaven said, nothing would hold back this daddy because he was delighted in his son. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son. No, you don't understand. He's just not another boy. He's just not another daughter, if there was a daughter in the house here. He's the one and only. This is my boy, right, everybody? He's exceptional. He's a blessing to me. And I'm going to speak over his life the blessing of God. And so can I continue right now? This is the one I love, and I'm very well pleased with him, right, everybody? And again, son or daughter in this room, You may have never been told that by your daddy, but daddy in heaven is telling you that right now. Receive it out loud, not out soft, right, everybody? Isn't that so cool? Amen. I can't talk right now. Yeah, I wanted to just mention to you that this picture is so beautiful of a father, and it gives all the components on how we can be a father today. I learned from my Heavenly Father how to be the best father that I can on this earth. Right, everybody? Amen. And so can you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Pray with me right now. Father, the word has been spoken, and there is grace now, and there's hope. I love you, my Father in heaven, because you've never beat me. I've been disciplined, but I've never been beat by you, my Father. You've loved me enough to chastise me and correct me, but you've done it in such a way, my dear Father, that I can't help but to change and to be more in your image. And I know the sons in this room and the daughters in this room would be mindful of saying, thank you, my Father in heaven. You've loved me that way. And so, as your servant Paul wrote, we're encouraged, we're comforted, and we were told to live the good lives for God today. And so we grow, every one of us in this room today. We grow because the word has been proclaimed today. The Bible says, as you stay in an attitude of prayer, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, that He makes all things new. You may have failed as a father, as a parent today, but God is a redeemer, and I've given you hope. It's been woven into what I've spoken to today. If anything, you know that God redeems. Receive your redemption today. You don't need to have a pity party your whole life today. We grow today. We say yes to the Lord. Well, you don't know how they hurt me. No, yeah, I don't know, but God does. And God comes alongside of you today and said, now it's time to lay that down, and you're blessed today. Rise up today. Thank you, Father. Touch every father in this room. Touch every son, daughter, parent in this room. Thank you, Lord. As I continue to pray, the final thought is this. You're part of the glorious kingdom because you've entered living faith. Not that this is some sort of cult or we're not that. We offer a relationship with Jesus Christ through God the Son, that God, through His Son, made a way for you to have a family relationship, that God would be your Father in heaven. And you're in this room and you never experienced the saving grace that Jesus can provide every sinner, someone that's far away from Him right now. You're on the internet today and you're listening to me, and you can receive Christ as your Savior. You're far away right now. Today at Living Faith, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that if your hand is lifted slightly, I'll include you in a prayer that will bring redemption to your life. And if that's you, would you lift your hand slightly? God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you, son. I see your hand. You can put them down, beloved. I noted them. You can put them down. I see anyone else just making sure. Precious son in the here in the back. Someone else just making sure. I'm looking at this side now. I want to make sure. About six people lifted their hand. And that moves the heart of God. You're already a Christian. You're already God's son, because repentance happens a whole lot before that prayer happens right now. I'm just going to include you in this prayer. If you lifted your hand, would you pray this prayer? Those on the internet right now, would you pray this prayer with me also right now? Let's say it out loud, not out soft. Let's confess it loud enough that we can hear it in our own ear. The rest of us that are in this room that didn't lift our hands, we're sinners saved by grace. So these are my brothers and sisters right now. We pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new. The blood of Jesus removes all my sins. I repent of my old ways. I renounce them. I have a new life now. I walk. I follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now fill everyone with your precious Holy Spirit again, God. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you His peace. Thank God for the peace of God. For the six people that lifted their hand, come on, bless them. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's a connection card that's found around you. You might have to stretch or go in the back there. Fill that out. Let me know about your decision that you received Christ. If you have a prayer request, this week I took a special time and I prayed for each of you that gave me that connection card back. And it's, again, a privilege to pray for you every week. And I'll do that, zero in on your prayer and your request if you'll give me a connection card. There's a couple of things as we conclude before we finish up together. I pray that you won't move around too much, not unless you're coming up on the stage. And we're going to receive the tithe and offering together. Can I see that first slide up there? Next week, I want to begin a special series called Elijah, and he's just like us. James said that he was a man that was just like us, but when he prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Isn't that incredible? But what made him just like you and me? That he was a human being just like you and me. And so Elijah will be taught for a couple of weeks here, and I pray that you'll come back. Let me know, who's going to come back next week? Can I see your hand? Encourage me. Even if you maybe don't lift your... Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You can put down your hands. Amen. Don't lie in church, okay? You're going to come back, right, everybody? Some of y'all are slick now. I ain't going to lift my hand because I know what he's going to say. That's okay. Finally, this one. Finally, before we lift up, we receive our tithe and offering together. In about two, not this Monday, but next Monday, porn and pasta night will happen in the sanctuary. A great meal of pasta. We have great cooks at Living Faith Church. Garlic bread, salad, and it's going to be great. And, I need to talk about the porn too. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, I do a little bit. It's ugly to talk in church. Do you know there's an elephant in the room? Let me just show you an announcement that I got ready for you. Can you plug that in for me? Let's go ahead and see that announcement about what we're going to experience in a couple of weeks.
Hey, my name is Craig Gross. I'm the founder of a website and a ministry called xxxchurch.com. And I'm excited that your church is going to tackle this issue of pornography. It shouldn't be the elephant in the pew, but so many churches are scared to address this topic. Not here. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to be sharing with you some resources, some helps right from the Bible on how we can talk and navigate the issues of pornography and sexuality. This is a big deal. Don't think it doesn't affect people right here in your church. It does, and it starts early, and it's not just the men. About a third of women sitting in church are dealing with this. So come out. I'm excited to share with you and offer you some hope when it comes to tackling this issue.
This is the latest teaching from xxxchurch.com, and Craig Gross is an excellent communicator. He'll be here that Monday. What I need to know, of course, is food-wise, so in a couple of weeks, probably next Sunday, I'll get a head count. If you could kind of mention to me, I know it's a little bit embarrassing, I'm going to be part of porn and pasta night. You don't need to come up sheepishly like that, because it is an elephant in the room. That night, I will tell you what happened to me as a fifth grader, I think, and when I saw pornography for the first time, and how it still affects me to this day, but God is a redeemer, and how God saves, and how God blesses, and God didn't leave me there. He changed my life, okay, everybody? Amen. And so I think if we're real transparent, we want to talk about this issue in the context of our church and how to do it, because if we don't, the enemy's relentless, and he will destroy especially our young men and women in this room with this. So I don't want to be about that. I want to be about exposing something, but giving the truth of God's word so we're set free. Is that okay? We don't have to stay in bondage. We can get set free on this thing, right, everybody? We win. Amen. Boy, it's weak, but the women are saying amen, and the guys are looking at me like I'm weird. but we do win. Amen. There's a beautiful scripture as you prepare your tithe and offering as we're led out today. And Solomon writes in 1 Kings 5:4, But now the Lord God has given me rest on every side. There's no adversity or disaster. And Solomon was the first king not to have war. His father David did, but he didn't. He was a man of peace. And I intend therefore to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father David. And your son, whom I will put on the throne in the place, will build the temple of the Lord in my name. And there's wisdom in pursuing a God cause in your life today. And the God cause is to continue to build the house of God. Well, we built it. Yeah, we built it. It's a year old now. Well, we're still building because it includes lives now. That sheetrock and carpeting and 2x4s won't do. It's lives. And it does take finances. It takes some people have told me this. Well, I'm going to give my time. And that's real valuable. I don't discount that. I'm going to give my talent, man. And there's, man, when I hear the abilities of our worship team, isn't that incredible? It's her talent. And they're giving that to God. But your treasure, which includes your talent, your treasure, which includes your finances, is so important. And I believe as a disciple, listen to me, everybody should do all three. Are you really not committed? I don't want to halfway something. How about you? Because you don't want to be called a name, especially on Father's Day, about being half something, right, everybody? You'll get it later. Yeah, don't be halfway about it. Commit fully. I know everyone in this room wants to be a giver. I know that. But what prevents us from giving is debt and things that we need to eliminate in our lives, so we put God as our first place. And everybody has the ability to do that in this room. I know that for a fact because you're in this room. So would you give all three? Be a follower of Jesus in your time, your talent, and your treasure. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask bro, amen. Pray for the tithe and offering. Amen. Bless us, Roger. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. Father, we just come and be fed by your word. We just come and hear music and worship and praise you. And Father, now I ask that you just allow us to come and worship you through our tithe. To worship you by giving what you deserve. Not only our time, our talent, but also our tithe. And that you could just take this 10% and allow it to grow in your kingdom, Father. That the church's needs are met, Father. And that it just overflows and comes back into the congregation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, you continue to move, Father. Continue to move through this church. Continue to move through this worship team, through pastor. And continue to move through our tithing. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. God bless you as you give today. There's a few ways on the screen that you can do it. And God bless you as we worship God in our giving. Why don't you stand and we sing the song of faith as we worship in our giving today.
So before we sing this last song and head out, I got a little bit of a praise. So today's Father's Day, you know, working in a church and leading in a church, one of the things that you come to learn is that on any kind of holiday, big or small, people like to not come. People are like, hey, it's Father's Day. We're going to go fishing, which is, you know, that's tempting for me. But, hey, we're going to go have breakfast. Hey, we're going to go do this. Hey, we're going to do that. And we're just, you know, we're going to skip church today. And I think it was like 3 days ago, I said, you know what, Father's Day, I like to have some family here. So I prayed, hey, you know, I pray that I could at least get 5 people to come. We all know God's a God of abundance. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Whole front row right here is family. That's 5. And I got 2 in the back as well. And then I got one, he's my grandfather. He had to leave a little bit early because he's my grandfather. But not just 5, 8. God of abundance, amen. So I'm grateful. I'm happy you are here. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people are missing today. But, man, pray, bring somebody to church next week. You know, man, hey, I want to bring 1 person. You know, somebody, I know you're thinking of them. Hey, man, I'm pretty sure I can get this person to come to church next week. Hey, you know, I know this person's, they're down in their luck, and they could really use the word, could really use the music, the worship, the ministry, the fellowship. Man, that's just as important, being around other people that want them here. Amen?
Amen.
We're singing, Father, will you come? And open up our eyes, fill us with your heart, renew us with your life, consume us with your majesty.
Consume us with your majesty. Sing it, church. We're singing. Father, will you come and open up our eyes? Fill us with your heart. Renew us with your life. Consume us with your majesty. Consume us with your majesty. Honor and power belong to glory and honor and power belong to you in glory and honor and power.
Sing this. We'll play the guitar real lightly. Let's just lift our voices. Glory, honor, and power. Because a Father that is amazing deserves a little bit of time. We're singing glory, honor, and power. And open up our eyes. Fill us with your heart. Renew us with your life. Consume us with your majesty. Consume us with your majesty. Yeah.
Hope that you were blessed this morning, Living Faith. And I want to just... forgot to mention something real important. My wife led with a couple of other precious ladies a little reception for you in the foyer. There's donuts for dads and juice and that sort of thing. I pray that you'll be able to enjoy that. Let's finish off those donuts if we haven't yet, guys. Amen. And anybody else that wants to eat those. And then if you're visiting for the first time, again, we want to remind you what you saw in the opening video. If you fill out your connection card, you'll get a free gift. See any leader, the guys that look like they're important around here, those are our leaders. They'll get you a free gift. And God bless you. Thank you for connecting with us this morning and being our guest. And enjoy the time. I'll meet you in the foyer. God bless you.
You are dismissed. Y'all have a great day.